can't do a good Sean Connery. Sad.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the After Hope Nothing podcast.
It's your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
Good.
Oh, good. I'm glad we're starting off with the rapist. That's
returning. Returning to.
Oh, I actually didn't get. I didn't get that part.
Oh well, never mind then.
No context theater.
No, I'm done with that. Hey guys, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Jerry Loves Ginger.
Oh.
It is Sailor Jerry and ginger ale.
Ooh, that sounds good. Wow, you got that filled. You're in for a night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? How is it?
It tastes yummy.
Describe it for me. Uh-oh. I think we lost James.
We didn't need him anyway.
That's fair.
It tastes like ginger ale with Sailor Jerry.
Oh, I imagine that tastes something like Sailor Jerry, but you add some ginger ale to it.
Very similar to that, as a matter of fact.
Mm. Cool.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
But, you don't say.
It is quite tasty, and I'm happy with it.
Oh, good.
That sounds lovely. James, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a Dr. Pepper with peach brandy.
Oh.
I think it's a Dr. McCoy.
I like it, actually. Also, that sounds sexy as hell. Like, damn.
I tell you what, damn.
Yeah. Is it good?
That's pretty good.
I mean, you're drinking Dr. Pepper, so but whatever.
I mean, adjusting for the difference in flavor. I think peach brandy, or I want to try peach schnapps in there, but I think that's a different doctor. I think that's like a Hawkeye.
I think a Hawkeye would be just a straight shot of the most, like, holy shit moonshine that you can possibly get with an olive in it. But
what about like a BJ Honeycutt?
I could see a dude. Well, I mean, BJ wasn't much better, honestly.
No, of course not. No, they fed into each other, but
maybe a Dr. Winchester.
Ooh. Oh, fuck that guy. But I mean, you're right.
Well, I mean, Winchester was not as bad as what's his face?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that one guy.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. What was I going to say? Mm-hmm. Oh, I ordered a wig. I'll get to what I'm drinking in a second. But on this, I ordered a wig, a strawberry blonde wig, for a cosplay that I will eventually be doing that I think we came up with on this podcast, but I'm not 100% certain. Dr. Pepper Potts.
Mm.
Yes.
It's shorter than I thought it was, so it's almost more of a bob than it was. I wanted the slightly longer.
Bob Potts doesn't have the same...
Right? It's just, no.
What about Dr. Bob Potts?
That would be Dr. Bob Potts.
Though. That sounds like a late night psychiatrist on television.
I would watch that.
I was going to watch radio, actually.
He would.
Like a Frasier.
You're listening to Dr. Bob Potts.
See, I'm picturing Frasier, but like a chain smoking, heavy drinking, like has lost all shits because he's been doing it for 40 years, doctor.
Yeah.
Who's just like, yeah, what's your problem?
Like a WKRP revival.
Oh, yes,
but
exactly.
It's Frasier, but on WKRP.
Yeah.
I like this.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Friends, we have the best ideas.
Yeah, we do. So
not on this podcast, but we definitely have the best ideas.
I save those for work where I get paid for them. So anyway, I am recording from Joe's tonight, which is an adventure. Which means I am not drinking from the slowly diminishing bar at my place. I'm drinking booze that he has here.
Ooh.
So tonight... I have
the good stuff.
Ménage à trois, red blend, 2018.
It's wine.
Fresh, ripe, jam-like fruit that is a calling card of California wine. Forward, silky, soft, and approachable. A delightful blend based on three varieties, Zinfandel, Merlot, and Cabernet Sauvignon. MenageAtroisWines.com.
Alright.
So,
that's
yeah,
California.
I've had it before, which is why I grabbed it, because I knew I'd like it. And I know the things I like. So, cheers.
Cheers.
That's fair.
Oh. So this is also what you have to.
Well, I was actually going to say, Jenna, do you want to tell everybody why you're at Joe's?
I believe I've talked on this podcast before about how I have a legitimate mouse phobia.
Mm-hmm.
Do not send me mice pictures. Do not joke around with it. This is a severely fucked up thing in my head. I will defriend you and never speak to you again if you knowingly trigger my phone.
Like actually not fucking around.
Actually not fucking around. So the past couple months, the house that I live in has always seen like a mouse here like every 6 months or so, and then never again and till the next 6 months. It's like, I don't know, there's like a mouse timeshare or something. but like
vermin condominiums.
Oh god. But the past couple of months has seen a major influx of mice in my house. Which is not good for me. I saw three in 1 week once. And for the past couple of weeks, I haven't seen a live mouse in my house. Dead mice still freak me out, but that's better. Sadly, that's better because that means it's not going to scurry at me and I don't know what, but
yeah,
scurry, I guess. So anyway, but last week I saw a mouse Thursday. And then this morning, I woke up to a mouse in my room. In my bedroom.
Shit.
Oh, God. And I screamed bloody murder, and Jessa went, oh, no.
Yeah.
She basically came and played guard for me while I was working, and helped me with, like she checked my closet for the mouse. So I saw this mouse, and it went into the closet, and I screamed. Because I've actually patched up that closet before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So as far as I know, there's no way for a mouse to get out of that closet other than the way it got into that closet, which is under that door.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So Jessa came in and she sat with me, and then the mouse came out and ran out of my room.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just somewhere in the house, which...
Right.
Doesn't make me feel better, but it does, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. And yeah, I watched that mouse go past two spin traps and one of those sonic deterrents for rodents. Like just right by it. Like
I don't give a fuck.
It was flipping me off as it was doing it. It was just like, nope. And it had avoided the sticky trap that is in my closet. Like, fuck you, mouse. So I'm after I finished working today, I just beelined it over to Joe's so that I could get some de-anxiety time. And I was like, I don't want to sleep in my bed tonight. I don't want that because, no. So I'm going to spend the night here at Joe's. But yeah, that's why I'm recording from Joe's. And I was thinking about this, like, why have we had so many fucking mice over the past few months? And then, like, it kind of hit me, like, oh, Lake Street is burned down.
Right.
Chicago Avenue is destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I live 500 feet, less than 500 feet away from one of the buildings that was destroyed. Mm-hmm. And another 100 feet down from that was Popeye's. Like, these poor mice, I feel a little bad. These poor mice, like, have lost their homes. They just can't live in mine.
Right.
Like, if they want to start paying rent, we could maybe...
Oh, I see, Jenna. You're going to get all NIMBY about the mice now, huh?
What? I look, I'm just going to drink my wine.
That's probably the correct answer.
Right. But yeah, so that's probably why I have been seeing all of these mice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my guess. Because anybody that knows me knows that I clean the shit out of everything. I have so many traps, and like, I package all of my food in plastic containers. I wiped down all of the shelving with ammonia, which I don't really like. I have deterrent spray. I have sonic deterrents. There is no reason for a mouse to be enticed in my home, other than it is a structure. And since it's a structure that's not far away from where it used to be, that's my best guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I am done talking about mice now.
Fair.
Yeah.
James, what have you been up to?
So much. Almost all of my things are put away. I'm at, like, well, I shouldn't say almost. Many of the things that I have.
I was gonna say, if you're almost put away, if you're almost put away, then you're doing better than me, and I've lived here for a decade.
I have done quite a bit of work on my room, and it actually looks like a human room.
It does. I'm looking in the background, and you've got like just enough mess on top of your dress to make it look lived in.
I'm gonna pick up the camera here and just give you like a quick
visual. This is great.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is perfect.
Oh,
perfect
for
the podcast listeners. Yeah, no, those are boxes, yeah.
Okay.
But, like, the bookshelf...
Yeah, that bookshelf.
Is set. Cool. I hung up that shield, which was kind of a big deal, and I found out that my dresser fits neatly inside the closet.
Nice.
The previous tenant took the doors off, all of that stuff, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, that. That's what I've been up to. And I realized... I realized that I, and by extension, Bryn, that the two of us have not really had anything for downtime.
Sure.
In the last
forever.
More than a month.
Right.
Yeah. Like, even aside from sitting down to watch TV while we eat meals. Or sitting and knitting while we keep the wee baby snake warm. Speaking of which,
that happened.
Yes, our baby snake arrived.
You got a snake?
Yes.
I believe you mean snack.
Yes, a baby snake.
What? Did you get a
baby
snake?
Snack.
What's a what's a snake?
You know. It's like a snake, but it's an Adoranim.
This is we've had this conversation on this podcast before, Salsa.
We have?
Yeah.
I don't listen.
Yeah, probably.
You have the same reaction. Oh, I remember this one.
I believe you. I have no memory.
And when
of
Jenna
things.
Remembers it.
Yeah, I drink all the time, so fuck. That was impressive.
So
I'm going to forget this conversation 5 minutes from now, so I'm not surprised.
No, yeah. He is a precious little string, and we love him.
What do you have?
We have a ball python. He is... So they have the different types of snake. You know, ball python, they have non-ball pythons, and then I assume other kinds of snakes. And
I love that that is all you know about snakes. there's a ball python, and then there are other snakes.
We were considering a milk snake or a corn snake, but we opted for a ball python. Both because they are, they have a much cuddlier temperament, and also because they have significantly fewer environmental requirements, making them far easier for first-time snake parents.
Sure.
Or yes. Snake parents, in this case.
Neither one, really. And por que no los both. And so we saw his picture online, and we fell in love with his adorable little face. And he is very cute. He was born in June. And we have settled on the name Linguini.
Okay, you did go with Linguini.
Yes, I went with Linguini. Bryn was the one who came up with calling him Linguini. And so I was convinced. Right. My vote was for Rigatoni.
More apt for a ball python, in my opinion.
I mean, I think so, but...
I think you should have gone with Fettuccini.
That's pretty good.
Nah, not for a ball python.
But the short name, like, thinking of short names, if he's Rigatoni, we can call him Tony, or we can call him Rigi, which are both very cute. If we call him Linguini, we can call him Guini, which is pretty cute.
Now, see, for a ball python, you got it, like, because ball python are fat and short, so I would go with, like, a cannelloni or something like that.
Maybe.
Personally.
But, you know, we've been calling him a danger noodle or a cuddle string, and, yeah.
I thought you liked the snake.
We do. we love him.
Okay.
Yeah, so for the past couple of days, we've been letting him curl up in our hoodies and robes and stuff and snuggle in against us.
It is fantastic, isn't it?
Which is amazing for me, you know, but I get to snuggle other people's pets also.
I miss and my Loki now.
Bryn does not get to snuggle other pets because she is violently allergic to almost everything that exists. So...
allergies, though.
Yes, yes, you are definitely still the winner of that dick measuring contest.
Yes.
And others. So, the... like, your IT certifications dick is much longer than pretty much anybody I know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah. So, so there's that. But the... the company shipped him to us, and we did a little like unboxing video of how cuddly and adorable and tiny he is. So, yeah, that's what we chose. And there's also a different categorization of snakes, in particular ball pythons, like that's called their morph, which is their coloration and something to do with some small other physical attributes. Like if you get a spider morph, it's not because it has additional legs. It just has the regular number, zero.
In order to have additional legs, wouldn't you have to have legs?
I mean, you can add to zero.
If your car has additional legs, then it...
I don't think that's how that language works.
The words do what I tell them to.
Okay. Good job, English.
But spider morphs have what they call a wobble to them. They have a neurological disorder that causes them to quaver a little bit, and it can make hunting difficult for them. It can make life difficult for them. So they are for more experienced herpetologists.
Yes.
Salsa.
Yes.
So, but we chose the banana morph.
Okay.
Which means that he's sort of orangey yellow and bubblegum pink, and just like the flippin' cutest thing. So yeah, Bryn is very excited because this is her first pet that she can cuddle in like 20 something years.
So. And ball pythons are great first snakes to have. They really are.
Yeah.
I miss my Loki.
But yeah, we've got a new place. We've got a lot of our stuff moved in. I want to say we're at like 70%, which is a lot to do in a week. Mm-hmm. But like I said, we haven't really stopped at all. And
gone anywhere or anything like that. So.
And then, we are happy snake parents.
Good.
Of an adorable little noodle. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, what have I done? I released a show.
Yeah.
The first episode of Curtains Unfurled has dropped in the vernacular. So far seems to have gotten a good reaction, so good. I have already recorded the second interview and have started the editing process for that. I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, because again, I don't remember shit. I'm planning on doing a 2-week rotation on these episodes, and then doing just a short series and then taking a break before doing a second series.
It's very smart.
But I've got the second interview recorded. I have a couple ideas for people I would like to talk to for the third interview. I need to start sending out invitations to them to figure out time. The first episode, I'm quite proud of what it is and how it turned out. And
nice.
The second one is still in its roughest shape right now. I'm about halfway through the first pass with the second interview right now. Because with this one, obviously, unlike apropos of nothing, like I said, I'm actually doing editing. And production value. It is ridiculous how much, when you actually try to clean it up, the work there is. Because when you try to start to trim out, when you start to trim out ums and stutters, and there's a lot. It's a fucking lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret to how apropos of nothing has lasted as long as it has.
Oh, no, absolutely. That's
the secret to why Autocopter lasted 4 years.
That was something that we talked about when Matt and I started this, was we're not going to edit. But I did. I wanted to experiment with this highly edited and polished format, and it's a lot. And I'm not saying that I regret doing it, because it is good practice for me, and it is putting out a different product than apropos of nothing.
Sure.
But it is just more time on my plate, you know, that I already had so much of, as we already know.
Right.
less so now, because I just got a new lathe.
Yay!
Yeah.
Everybody has also got lathed this week.
My wife, our anniversary is next month. And knew I was pretty bummed out about the last one breaking, and so she was like, I was gonna do, you know, get you a new lathe for our anniversary, but I also want you to pick it out, because I know I won't get the right thing, so you pick it. But I basically, we looked on Craigslist, and we basically found a very similar one to the one I had, but it was
incomplete. It you know, it had a lot of the things that I want, but it didn't have a motor. So I was, and it didn't have a chuck, but I've got the chuck. So I'm going to kind of take the two of them and exactly,
like,
you know,
a G.I. Joe doll and a Barbie doll.
Exactly, like I'll be able to, I'll be able to take the chuck from the from my old one and the motor from
yeah,
my old one and mount
Frankenstein
it to the new
was
one.
The doctor, not the lathe.
Yeah. So. I'll be able to put the two of them together and have a good condition lathe that is better than the one I had. I'm quite excited that I will have less free time than I did before.
Nice.
Also less already, because I already had less than I don't have time, y'all.
I feel like I'm doing quarantine better than you at this point. Like,
define,
aren't you supposed
better
to time? Like, I'm just chill. I'm just here chilling with my wine. Watched a bunch of bunch more Stargate. We're on season 6 now, by the way.
But that kind of sounds awful.
Oh, lovely.
I mean, watching Stargate, mind you, but just like sitting around not and watching TV
with
is
Joe.
Yeah, seriously. What? Why? No, like, I honestly, like, other people, you know, go and see.
I don't think you do like other people.
I don't. Other people go and see other people, and I just do more projects, and I feel like I'm the one who wins.
Sure.
See, I actually, this is the first time I haven't had, like, a backlog of projects. Like seriously time-driven project forever. Like, I think since before Jessa was born. So I'm just like, what? What? Is this what people do? People, like, watch TV? What is this massive box? Like, I've been enjoying the hell out of it. It's the weirdest brain vacation thing ever. I forgot to mention, Joe and I have been dating for 3 years now. Our quote-unquote anniversary was yesterday, so...
You're having our tree. It's your third haberdashery.
We kind of celebrated. Saturday night, I want a haberdashery. Fuck. So many hats. Anyway, Saturday night, we...
No. Salsa, that's a place that makes and sells hats. You're thinking of a carniceria.
Okay.
So anyway, Saturday night, Joe and I did a fire in the fireball.
Fire!
And we just drank and sat around a fire, and the weather was perfect for it. And we accidentally stayed up till 3:30 in the morning.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, that was quite lovely.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, drinking and smoking at a fire, lighting random shit up
until 3 a.m. Yeah, I would do that.
Yeah,
I would do
that. Yeah.
We did actually go to an orchard.
Did you?
Briefly. A few friends and we got together and went to an orchard for Sunday morning, and, you know, just did a nice socially distanced outing where we all went out and we picked apples and, you know, brought home a lot of fucking apples, which we're not going to turn into alcohol, so what's the point? I know, right?
Why even have fruit?
I know, like, the kids are just going to eat them. Like, what a waste. Yeah.
Weird.
But yeah, we went to the orchard and
it's good for them or something.
You know, did the apple picking there and then pet the goats, and then we went over to our friend's backyard.
Wait, were there goats?
Huh?
But now I'm jealous. I didn't realize there were goats.
You can have them. Because fuck goats.
No. Don't fuck goats. Also. Salsa.
I mean, you do whatever you fucking want with the goats. Just keep them away from me, because And then
I built this bridge with my bare hands. Do they call me Jeffrey the bridge builder? No, they don't.
No, because your name is James.
But you fuck one
goat.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So build a bridge over that goat. Do whatever you want. I don't care. Just, and then
don't Eiffel Tower over the goat.
Just don't lick a toad.
Oh, God.
And then we went to my friend's backyard to have a little bit of fire and birthday cupcakes.
Very nice. So,
it was quite enjoyable.
Very cool.
Yeah. I think James is typing something, so he's lost focus. Should we take a break?
What?
Always. We should always take a break.
All right, let's take a break.
No.
I got distracted by goat fucking.
And that's a break. We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Should we do a podcast?
Always.
No.
Oh.
No, have you heard us? We're terrible.
No, I'll just keep drinking then. Fuck it.
Let's stop while we're ahead.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
Are we ahead? Are we ahead, though? Are we?
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Oh, wow.
You guys know what's sexy about Joe?
His nipples. I've seen them.
Everything?
Well, yes. There are many, many fine qualities.
Okay, no. Honest answer, his cooking.
Honest answer.
Ooh.
That is one of the sexier qualities.
That's a good answer.
Not the sexiest, but it is maybe second or third.
Is it him? The post-coitus music playing.
Ooh. First the doodling and then the noodling.
No. That's not a thing.
Really? Oh, that's too bad.
No. Not often.
He doesn't bring one of those little Casio keyboards to bed?
He does have a tiny keyboard. He has his piano. Then on top of his piano, mm-hmm. he has one of those toy pianos, mm-hmm. like the little mm-hmm. red ones with that ding, 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 ding. And then on top of that, he has an even tinier piano,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's basically like a Christmas ornament, but it's still got little tiny keys that you can poke down. It does like nothing, but it's adorable. So yes, Joe does have pianoception, but that is not his sexiest trait.
Okay.
Sexiest thing Joe does. Mm-hmm. Dishes.
That's pretty fucking hot.
It's real hot. Now, number one, just the concept of doing dishes in and of itself is like excessively attractive. But the way he does dishes, they are all clean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like, the goal.
It's the goal. Not everybody can achieve it, however. So let's be clear. That is
accurate. Very accurate.
Who's not cleaning their dishes?
So many people.
College students. My former roommates. Charles, best friend, former landlord and wife, right. Raina. Erstwhile dating. Former roommates, Tori and Aaron, because that was... it looked like a frat house was dropped like a bomb onto that place.
No, but after cleaning the dishes.
No, they had a film. They had that greasy film where you could. They looked clean, but then when you would pick them up, they would be slightly slippery, and you would leave a thumbprint.
Ew.
Yep. Nope. Nope.
So yeah, Joe gets the dishes really clean, squeaky as clean. But then, after doing the dishes, he cleans the sink and wipes down the counters.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't clean the sink?
So many people.
What is wrong with people?
I know, right?
But so much. We don't have enough time in this podcast, Salsa.
I thought this was
this as the person who takes up too much time in this podcast. We don't have enough time in this podcast to tell you what's wrong with people.
I apparently breathe rarefied air that all the people I know and hang out with know how to clean dishes.
Yes. Yes, you do.
How nice for you. Jenna, you were saying?
But the sexiest part, the creme de la creme, the best, best part of this is that when he goes to wash the sink and wipe down the counters, he does not use the dish sponge.
Say it slow.
He has a separate
sponge
for cleaning the sink and the counters than he does doing the dishes themselves. My god, I'm getting damp just thinking about it.
One of my favorite conversations that a friend sent me, and I don't know if it was their screenshot or someone else's, but it was just a message that said, I've done the dishes, and a photo of the like clean sink and all of the dishes drying next to it. And then she responded with just a photo that was the upper half of the photo was a cartoon of a pelvis drawn onto a waterfall, so that the waterfall was just
loosh.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, dishes are sexy.
Like mm-hmm.
Do the dishes, you can do me later. That's how that goes. But his second most attractive quality is probably the cooking. Like,
I suppose they go hand in hand.
That's how the dishes get dirty, baby.
If you're the kind of person who likes to prepare good meals, then you're going to want clean dishes.
Yeah.
So
I think in cleaning there are various ways that brains work as far as keeping things clean or doing clean.
Mm-hmm.
For some people, if you cook, you're going to want clean dishes for cooking. Wine's kicking in.
Clean cushions for dishing. Clean cushions for dicking. That's what it's
If you've got a dish, you want some clean cush.
Also that.
True. Very, very
what,
true.
Do you want your roaches coughing all over everything?
That's... Oh, gross. But, like, for me, I'm not much of a cooker. I don't really get into it. I enjoy cooking occasionally. Mm-hmm. I do cooking because apparently I need, like, nutrients or some shit. But I don't actively seek out cooking, like, often. It's an occasional pastime. It's not like a whatever. But I like having my dishes extra clean because I like having everything impeccably clean. Like, for me, there is, number one, it's a functional thing. If you have dirty dishes, that's just gross and I'm going to puke.
Yeah.
But number two, there's an aesthetic value to it.
Sure.
That appeals to me. A clean dish is lovely. It is stress-free. It is, there's no worries. It is just, now it is a functional and viable dish.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain amount of completion that happens with a real clean dish that I appreciate, and why I like having really clean dishes. So I think, like, different brain function works differently as far as how clean works.
Sure.
Also, people have different things that they think of as clean.
And different things that they do with their time.
Right.
And different brain function. And
yeah.
All of that stuff. Like, we shouldn't discount depression.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's a difference between I'm going to say there's a difference between what you think of as clean and what your ability to clean is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because I know a good number of people that with depression look at their house, they see it as dirty, and they become more depressed because it is not clean. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about how do you visualize clean? What does clean mean to you, right?
Gotcha.
For me, it has to do with dust and clutter. Primarily, I don't. Some people are like, "Yeah, I have a little bit of clutter out and about, and I can handle that to a certain extent." Mm-hmm. But to me, a clean house has like no clutter.
It's like an IKEA living room.
The dust is gone. Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. To me, clean is there is no dirt, there is no clutter. There's nothing getting in the way of the aesthetic of what's happening.
Inside a spaceship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that isn't to say that, you know, like, I need to have, I don't know, the floors mopped every day or anything like that. I'm not necessarily...
Sure.
Obsessive about it, but I will look at that and be like, that's not clean.
Mm.
Right? It doesn't register as clean to me until it's like actually clean.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, for me, that's what clean is. And I'm incredibly lucky that Joe has similar concepts of clean.
Yeah. One of the many reasons we would never be able to be in a relationship.
I would kill you inside of a week.
Yes.
For so many reasons.
I would literally throw a bag of garbage at you, Salsa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would happen.
Because I have a lot of clutter.
Yeah.
Not just because I have kids, but I have... Clutter is fine with me.
I mean, when you have kids, clutter is just going to happen.
It's just a fact of life. And don't get me wrong, sometimes the clutter does wear on us, but even then, like, a certain level of clutter is to me... part and parcel of having a house that I live in.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, because I look at a house with that is spotless, and I just I don't feel comfortable in it because it doesn't feel like a home. It feels like a showroom. You know? Yeah. Like, that's not
is
what...
Is it?
It's part of the comfort of a living room is looking like I live there. You know?
It might be super weird, but one of the things that I do sort of consciously when I invite people over, dates, friends, people, is I will do all of my dishes and things like that, but I will leave some or all of them on the side of the sink drying, like in the drying rack. And I know, based on Jenna's reaction, that the podcast audience did not hear. Like, she's, like,
they
virgin.
Heard it. They
yeah.
heard
yeah.
They
yeah.
heard my reaction.
Yep.
I'm like, no, if I'm having people over, I want those dishes out of that rack.
Yeah, I mean, like, I want my house to be clean, you know? I don't...
Yeah.
I want the floors swept, and I want the carpets vacuumed, and I want, you know, relatively things to not... I just have shit laying everywhere.
You don't want people's feet sticking to the floor.
Exactly. Like, no, that's not. Yeah. But I live there. You know, and so I'm. You know, if it looks like a showroom, then I don't feel welcome.
Right
in the room.
Well, and that was a part of the.
I feel like I can't touch. I feel like I can't touch my own things, because this house is too clean.
When our landlord asked us to take photos and videos of the old place in order to help her to sell it, because we couldn't invite people in.
Sure, yeah.
Safely. We just fucking couldn't. So instead of doing that, I took photos and things like that, and we were discussing the logistics of trying to stage the photos of all of these things and all the shit we would have to move and everything like... And at some point, we were both having a panic attack. And I was like, hang on. Fuck that. Fuck that. Because if they were coming in, they would see our house,
yeah,
you know, like this way. They would see the place that we're living in this way. So, we're not going to like leave a pair of briefs hanging over the back of the couch or anything like that. But
I'll say that I'm actually okay with.
Well, right, because it's naked o'clock. But the
that's an accessory.
Yeah,
right. That's tastefully placed. You're fine.
Yeah, that's an it's a BVD antimacassar. So ooh. The thank you. So the like the dishes were clean and put away for the most part, but there was like a pan on top of the stove, because something was being made at the time that I took the video, and you know. We didn't remove all of the stuff from the shelves and everything like that because they're not going to get to keep the shelves.
Fuck right.
You know, that kind of thing. So rather than taking like Pottery Barn catalog photos.
See, for me, that hits me wrong on two different levels. Number one, okay. My aesthetic, whatever, would be having a nervous breakdown. But number two, that is an opportunity to me to make everything showcase style. That is an opportunity sure. to exercise some film and photo stuff to be like, how can I make this look classy as fuck? How do I, like me, there's that extra level of, how do I put my art into this? You know
see,
what I mean?
See, we just have a pot that lives on the stove. That's just that's where it goes, you know.
I like having storage places for things.
Yeah, no, but we have a cast iron skillet, we have
yep.
a cast iron griddle, and we have a small cast iron skillet that just live on the stove because that's where we use them. You know,
I have a kettle that
yeah.
When it does not live on top of the furnace in the house that looks like some kind of industrial wood stove type thing or whatever,
because
yep.
mm-hmm. it's just cute there. But the kettle will almost always live on the stove.
There's well, and if you put water in the kettle, it helps to keep your house from drying out in winter.
Well, if you turn on the stove, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, not even then. Like, just, I normally just keep a kettle on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
There's an ease of accessibility if you're having people over. It looks mm-hmm. cute. I think there is an aesthetic value to having a kettle on a stove. Mm-hmm. Also often, yeah, my cast iron pan, because fuck that thing's heavy. And like when you go to dry it, one of the things that you do when you're drying cast iron is you put it on the stove for a couple minutes. Help dry out, get all of the water out of it, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Just fucking leave it because it's hot. Mm-hmm. Fuck it.
But
yeah.
in this,
wait, go ahead.
In the same way that the stove, or that the kettle just lives on the stove because that's where mm-hmm. you use it. A lot yeah. of the things in the living room just live there because that's where I use them. You know what I mean? Like,
well, like,
yeah, you're not going to put your TV away every time you have guests.
Right, but I'm not talking about, like, a TV is obviously something that belongs there, but I'm talking about things that Jenna would probably put things away. There are things that I was like, but I use it here, and so I'm just going to leave it here. You know, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, I have a basket for all of the remotes. And,
yeah,
and
just, the remotes like, just go on the couch.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
Shit, I no. fucking can't. Oh, okay.
Oh, whoa, I'm excited. James, go. I want to hear this. Tell me a story.
I want remotes to go on the table.
Yep.
And I don't think I've ever dated another person who is as fastidious.
Sure.
I have never dated anyone who is as
anal, say it, James.
Sure. As anal about putting the remote back in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have had to look for remotes too often.
Yep.
And it's frustrating.
Oh my god, yes.
So I'm not even 100% myself on doing it, but very frequently.
Yeah.
The majority of the time.
I agree. I'm so
I just lean forward and put it on the table.
Right.
Because that's where it goes.
On the table. Like, I have a basket for all of my remotes because I've got, like, a remote for switching. I've got the Xbox remote. I've got, you know, I've even got, like, my keyboard and my mouse for my
computer. You have a three-ring circus of remotes.
I really do. And I like being able to just grab the basket and grab whatever remote I need.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That even saves time on looking over the table where I've placed everything.
Uh-huh.
It's just like grab basket, grab remote, go.
Yeah.
I am there with you on remote storage, man. I hate trying to locate a remote, especially if, like, say we're about 5 minutes to podcast and there are people waiting on me and I can't find the goddamn remote to switch the computer over so that I can start podcasting.
I would find that deeply frustrating.
All of the anxiety.
Yep.
Yeah. No, just put things away when you're done, and then you know where they are, so that there's no anxiety the next time you need to find it.
I still am not 100% on this other thing that I do, which is to... whenever I'm leaving a room and going into another room, if there is something in that room that goes to the room that I'm headed toward, even if it's just one fucking thing, even if it's something small, just pick it up, you put it where it goes.
Yeah, it's a great...
You bring it to the right place. Is this one less fucking thing? If you do that 100 times a day, you've moved 100 things where they fucking go. This is because I'm like a crusty old man now and no fun.
Oh, that's adorable. Continue.
But what I will say is that I have been deeply impressed with how quickly we have put this place together and how nice everything looks. Mm-hmm. But I was also having like a small freak out because I had assembled a giant shelf thing. An IKEA Kallax unit, 4x4, with wire baskets in order to store video game consoles and accessories and games. Right. And because it does not fit in my room, and because even if it did, I have nothing to hook them up to in here, because my TV's out there, it seemed like a better idea to have it out in the living room where there is space. Right. At all for things. But that also means that it's in shared space. And divvying it up, like half and half, means not only that I have to find space for half my stuff, which I can do. I've had to do it before, and that's okay.
Sure.
But also then disassembling some of the wire baskets, like the more wire baskets we were talking about removing that I had purchased explicitly for and like connected and everything, like I was starting to, and I was like, I'm sorry, I'm just, it's, it makes no fucking sense, but I'm definitely having a problem right now and I need to take a minute. But we, you know, like we talked it out and figured it out.
Yeah,
we're making it work. But yeah, I just have irrational attachments to systems of organization like that.
I don't know if it's wholly irrational. Because of how your brain works, having systems of organization and process better help you navigate the world.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it's irrational, but navigating it can be really tricky. I get that.
Yeah. Fair enough.
And it seems weird because, I mean, it is, but it's also what works. So yeah, I don't think it's irrational, but I think it is outside of the norm, and that's fine to acknowledge.
Yeah.
You're not that crazy, James.
Thanks. That's really sweet of you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So what's the one cleaning thing you have to have done?
My bookshelves.
Yeah?
Yeah, my...
Organized a specific way?
I am OCD about my bookshelves.
I believe this, Mr. Librarian.
Yeah, exactly. My bookshelves must be in the correct order.
How do you order?
By genre, by author.
Okay.
We lost the James. We didn't need him.
Right.
I mean, part of it is the executive dysfunction side of ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I know me. You know, there are times where it's like, I should put that thing away, and then I don't, because of the executive dysfunction. Mm-hmm. And so that definitely plays a part into what I find acceptable and not acceptable. You know, again, mm-hmm. I want my room to be clean, but there's a certain level of clutter and things being out that is just, for me, part of...
Yeah,
a house that is used.
Books on a nightstand.
Yeah, just like, okay.
Yeah. I'm fine with books on a nightstand, but they have to be stacked just so.
I knew that was coming, too. I absolutely knew that was coming. I have kids, so anything I want is just...
Yeah, no, you don't get to have nice things anymore.
I've received help.
Wait till Lilibeth hits 10. Start to see some of that.
In the last apartment that I was living in, I received help organizing it from someone who very kindly like went through and helped with everything. And they did a thing. They were like, we need to get your books out of these boxes. I hate these boxes. We need to get books up on the shelf. And I was like, cool, I'll start putting them away. And she was like, no, you have other things to do. I'm just going to take them out of the box. I'm going to put them on the shelf. You can sort them later. I never did. Until they got boxed up and brought down here. Now they're organized. I couldn't even look at them. I couldn't deal with it. Because it was just... like an insurmountable task.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all of those books, and they are the idea of having to take everything back down and put everything back in the right order. And like, and I was extremely grateful for her helping to clean the apartment and get everything organized. Like, it was truly a gift of her time and patience. But that made me feel crazy pants.
So you could drop me in the middle of the U of M library and tell me that three books are out of place, and I will spend the next few days just happily putting things where they belong. Like, I will take down every single shelf and put every single shelf back in correct order, no matter how messed up everything is, and I will be happy the entire time.
I like making... order out of chaos. I do. But I find it very frustrating to make chaos out of order and then to impose order on it again. Is like...
But if somebody else... I mean, if somebody else went through the library and fucked everything up, I would still happily clean it up.
That was a Funkoland thing for me.
Oh?
I would not even... happily clean it up. I would have to clean it up.
Yeah.
I would be obsessed. I would look at that bookshelf all the time, know that they're wrong, and have to fix it. They would be done inside of 3 days.
Yeah. It's not a have to for me. It's I genuinely would enjoy doing it.
Oh, sweetie. I would be driven. There's just no way that would let sit. I would know in the back of my brain. As soon as I knew that it wasn't right, it would just be sitting here until I dealt with it.
It's like leaving a cart in the handicap spot that someone else has put there. Like, that's not where it goes.
Right.
Also, that's not where it goes.
I don't put it there.
I know you don't, but...
Then what are you...
I'm just frustrated at the universe. I'm
taking it out on you. Yeah.
What did I do? I always put my card away. I'm sorry, James. I'm sorry.
I did.
I stole my teacher's ruler in the third grade.
Did you really?
No, what is that quote from?
Probably, yeah. I don't know. But the
I don't remember now.
Yeah. I don't know. I am definitely a like things need to be just so kind of person. And the things that for me have to be just so are definitely not the same things that have to be just so for everyone. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, well, dear listeners, tell us how clean you need things to be.
Oh, God.
Post your pictures of your messy house in the chat and tag Jenna.
Oh, my God, no.
And then post your pictures of your disorganized bookshelves and tag me for fairness sake.
No, I am going to post. Sake. I will post the picture. I still haven't figured out how to not get me off of posting as apropos of nothing on my phone.
On your phone, it's fucking impossible.
It's impossible. So I've just been putting my name under it. Sorry, Yaz. I will take a picture of my dresser because it is the epitome of Jenna organization, and I think everybody will delight in it.
One might even say the epitome.
You're an epitome.
I wondered if you might.
You've seen my dresser.
We're going to take a break.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing. Gentlemen, have we braked?
I'm definitely broken.
Thus, have we been broken? Here endeth the break. We are back.
F.
I am Salsa.
F.
I am James.
Appropriate. And I, forsooth, am Jenna.
F.
This is your fault, Salsa.
Endeth. Yeah. Heareth. Beginneth.
Oh, God, poor Guy Murphy is...
The Expedient Quintet.
A Fastest Fiveth.
Oh.
Fiveth.
Oh. Fastest Fiveth.
The look on your face, James.
Betrayal.
It pained him to say that.
Stone cold betrayal.
It's so, so sad.
Which made me somehow happy. Today's Fast Five comes to us from Troy. Troy says, question number one. Oh, wrong button. Sorry. That was a miss push. That was a miss push on my part. I apologize.
I thought that was Jenna.
No, that was
I mean, it was also. I did that.
I genuinely hit the wrong button there. Question number one. Spock or T'Pol?
Oh, fuck.
Well, T'Pol is very good looking.
You know what? Spock. Who has the better eyebrow raise? And it will always be Spock.
Ooh, always Spock.
It isn't forever.
Also,
he invented the eyebrow raise.
For animated Heath responses, Spock Heaths are by far the Superior Heaths.
Superior Heath is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.
Yeah, but everybody will always mispronounce it. I'm going to go Spock, because Spock.
Yeah, Spock. Spock all around.
Question number two. Data or the emergency medical hologram?
Data.
I got to go Data for the same reason as Spock. It's fucking Data.
Yeah. I identified with Data as a child.
This surprises me not at all, James.
Yeah.
You know what? There's only one situation in where I can think I would go with the emergency medical response hologram.
Would it be in a medical and emergency?
Okay, so there are two.
Okay.
Medical emergency or watching my kids.
Ooh.
I feel like the doctor would definitely be better at watching children than Data would.
There's that episode of Next Generation where Data's watching a child.
Okay, wait, pause. The fact that you had to clarify Next Generation where Data is watching a child is adorable. Point the second, though.
Fair.
Which one was that?
That was the one where the boy was on board a ship and Data rescued him from catastrophe.
Yep.
And so he, like, imprinted on Data.
And then the boy was just annoying to everyone and the captain said, "Shut up, Wesley."
Oh.
Yes, that
one
was...
The sweaters. Okay.
Question number three. Spock or Scotty?
Scotty, all day, every day.
Oh, fuck.
If we're going with the Simon Pegg Scotty, then absolutely Scotty.
Oh.
If we're going with new Star Trek, then Scotty, because fucking Simon Pegg. Zachary Quinto was okay, but Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
I don't. Oh.
You don't hoe?
I do hoe. That was a little. So this one's depend. Who would I rather go drinking with? Scotty. Hands down.
All right.
That's a good answer.
Who would I rather play chess with?
Scotty, because I might actually win.
I'm going to say Scotty because the actor James Doohan saved someone's life. There was a suicidal person who sent him a letter, and he wrote back and said, "Well, I'd love to talk to you about this. Will you meet me at the next Star Trek convention?" And then they just kept corresponding and meeting at Star Trek conventions. And after a little while, like, that person got the help that they needed, and they said to him, you kept me going. You always gave me something to look forward to. I knew that if I wasn't there, that you would miss me." And, like, that's amazing. So, Scotty...
All right.
Yeah.
Question.
I didn't actually choose. I think I'm going to go Spock.
I thought you had chosen the who would you drink it with.
Oh, no, that was me setting up a specific circumstance.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that, like, I went with Data, but, like, in a child watching a situation, I would go with it. So I'm going Spock.
Okay. Question number four.
Number four.
Yes, sorry.
The smarch weather.
No, I had to figure out where I was. Question number
four. You guys have had so much wine, it's affecting salsa.
Question number four. Riker or Sisko?
Sisko.
Bitch. God damn it. Oh, I love them both so much.
Is clearly Riker, for me.
Oh, fuck.
Because nobody sits down like Riker.
Ooh, baby snack. Nobody does sit down quite like Riker.
That's true.
I was like, okay, which one do I identify with more? No, both of them, but in different ways. I will say this one might be controversial, but between the two of them, I think Riker had the better character development.
Oh.
Sisko had a lot of circumstantial development around him, which encouraged him to grow. Mm-hmm. Riker just grew as a person, which I think is beautiful.
Sure.
I'm going to go with Riker because of two reasons. The beard and the shiny naval shirt.
Those are both very good reasons.
That's my backup reason.
Fair enough.
It's really the beard and the way he sits down, which I know is because he like has a fucked up hip, and so he couldn't sit normally. Like he couldn't twist to sit, and so he sat down that way. But it's the Riker sit, and it's just it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Question number 5. Undiscovered country or first contact?
Did we do these before? Oh, okay.
Oh, are these the lost ones?
Yeah, these are the last ones. Why did it take me this long?
Because I purposefully mixed up the order and stuff like that. Which is why I was confused as to which one we were on, because I had mixed them up to try to obfuscate that they were the ones.
Gotcha.
Which, while you're thinking about that, I will explain to the dear listeners.
What are the options again, real quick?
Undiscovered country or first contact. So what happened, dear listeners, you may recall a few episodes ago, we had an episode that wasn't recorded at all due to technical difficulties, and this is the Fast Five that we went through, and rather than discard it, we decided to wait until we forgot all about it and then try it again. And I, even though I am looking at it, I genuinely have forgotten the context.
Same.
But in order to, because I know you two have better memories than I, I was trying to obfuscate that it was even that. In an attempt to prevent
done.
That, so.
I didn't get it until this, and I was like, "Wait a minute! I've had to compare these before."
Yep. So I figured
I had to compare Star Trek people before, but the movies themselves, I was like, "Oh, wait a minute! I'm having a weird sense of déjà vu."
So this is actually question number 3, but I was bouncing around a bit.
They sounded familiar, but I thought it might be like the Western and Eastern dragons thing.
That came up like 5 times.
I'm going with first contact, personally.
I'm going with first contact as well. No reason, just gut.
I'm going to go with first contact because I think the movie First Contact has a lot of brilliant, like, small character pieces in it, where Undiscovered Country
doesn't.
It's kind of, it's a good story, but the only reason it's a Star Trek movie is that it has Star Trek actors in it being Star Trek characters. It could be any spaceship. It could be any people.
Why do I feel like you've made this argument before?
I think he made his exact one last.
Maybe so.
Oh my god.
Anyway.
Oh god, this is so bad.
When I listen to the Awfulcopter, 4 weeks after doing it and then editing it and everything else, I would often get riff back on things. I'd be like, "Oh, well, did they? I can't believe nobody said blah." And then someone will be like, "Blah," and I'll be like, "Oh." Okay, we did. All right.
I've done that just listening to our podcast, which I do occasionally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the interest of not selling Troy short, I, again, skipped his whole intro so you didn't remember this one. So I will say say his intro now, just, you know, and sorry, Troy, we are doing your thing a terrible injustice, but we are, I'm trying to set it as right as possible.
Terrible Injustice was the best Star Trek movie.
So he does, he does start this email by saying, "Greetings, Apropostors. Google has started auto-completing my emails to you with greetings, Apropostors. We appear to be living in the future." Which reminds me, and then the questions. And then the email concludes with, "Set course for the next email and engage."
All right. Where are my connections?
All right, opening up the second email, and it says, "Greetings, Apropostors. I again went with the autocomplete." That's so cool. I assume
you... I don't feel like that cheapens it at all, because at first my inclination was to feel like it did, but then I realized how fucking ableist that is of me.
I'm okay with it. I assume you've guessed that these are all Star Trek related.
What?
I know. But now it's time for more specific context. Question number one. Commander Spock or Sub-Commander T'Pol, who had better resting Vulcan face?
I fucking called this, bitches. Eyebrow. Spock.
Spock.
Done. I know it's not the entire face, but, like, let's be real, though. Spock basically created the Vulcan race.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He set the standard.
He did.
He literally invented it, yeah.
Like, I feel like T'Pol did a great job. And I don't want to
Did you just say Tupac?
Yes.
I think Tupac would be an amazing Vulcan.
Tupac the rapper did a great job.
I'm just going to go home now.
Fuck the police. They're illogical.
I'm on a boat.
I have 99 problems, but logic is not one of them.
Ooh, nice.
Live long and smoke weed.
Smoke weed and prosper.
Smoke weed and prosper.
There you
That's
go.
That's what it is.
Oh, wait, it would have to be fuck bitches and prosper, because it's fuck bitches get money is the...
All right. Question number...
Just go.
Okay. Question number two. Scotty or Spock?
Okay.
Who had a better appearance on Next Generation?
Oh.
I feel like I did bring this up last time, too. God damn it. Because I had just seen the Scotty one.
Mm.
I have not seen either of them, so I don't know.
Oh, they're good.
So I'm going with Spock.
The Scotty one was delightful, and I think I'm going to go with Scotty on it, because he had been stuck in a time thing for a while, a transporter thing, actually. Fucking brilliant. Loved it. It was great story. But he comes back, and he's aged, like, 20 years, 30? I don't remember. A good amount of time. And basically all of his engineering information is just useless. Because everything's advanced so much, and he's like, I can't do anything. And there's a scene. There's two scenes that are beautiful. He wants to go get alcohol. So he goes to Tin Forward, and he's like, "I would like alcohol," and the server gives him Synthol.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "What is this garbage?" And they're like, "Oh, well, it's this, blah blah blah." And he's like, "What the fuck is going on?
Give me some Glenlivet or some fucking
Romulan
scotch.
Ale."
Well, and so what happens is Data shows up and he's like, "Oh, I think I can help with this. Guinan keeps some actual alcohol back here. Let me help you." And he picks one out and he goes, "Would you like some of this?" And Scotty's like, "What is it?" And he goes, "It's green." It's so good, because it's like this neon green. It's the ecto cooler color. And yeah, so he has that, but then the other one is that he replicates, he goes to the holodeck. And we get the original Star Trek bridge.
Yeah.
And he's just reminiscing on that. And that is, I hate to say it, but it's possibly some of the most heartache I've ever experienced watching Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of good heartache in it. Don't get me wrong. But there's something about that being out of place, out of time kind of heartache that I'm just son of a bitch.
So Bryn and I...
is basically what it comes down to.
Bryn and I just watched Inner Light for her first trip through it.
Oh, okay.
And I forgot, like, how deeply affecting that episode is. I knew that it was good, but wow. James Doohan's cameo as Scotty is still one of my favorite episodes from any series of Star Trek. Yeah, wholeheartedly agree. And it is absolutely about that scene with him on the old bridge.
Oh, God. It just right here. I'm like, oh, dude, I feel you on so many different levels right now.
The writing was good. The acting was great.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
All right. And like, throughout the entire thing, I'm like, Scotty's being a dick.
All right, question.
And then it gets to that scene, and I'm like, ah, now I feel bad for calling him a dick.
Question number 3. First contact or undiscovered country? Which is the better Star Trek movie? In brackets, this is a dispute I'm having with a friend.
Okay.
Sorry your friend had to wait so long, Troy.
Yeah, I don't know which of you chose First Contact, but they're the right one.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it was all of us, actually.
All right.
Oh, no. I think Salsa was saying Troy to Troy and Troy to Troy's friend.
Yes.
Whichever one of you picked First Contact is the,
the
correct one.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I believe we all also picked First Contact, so...
Yep.
Done.
It's clear. Question number 4, Riker or Sisko? Who had the best improvement once they grew facial hair?
Oh,
God, I almost called this.
It's Riker.
It is
totally Riker.
Straight
it is
Riker.
Absolutely.
I fucking called this one almost. I didn't get the facial hair portion, but I did get character development. And, I mean, yeah, character development.
If you're calling a beard character, then yeah.
There is literally the phrase, the trope, growing the beard, which is named for how much the series improved and how much the characterizations improved from the point where Riker grew the beard onward. Jenna's absolutely right about this.
Yeah, no. Straight up.
All right. 100%. Question number 5. Data or the emergency medical hologram. Who would be a better sideshow performer?
Oh, God damn it.
I mean, Data can detach things, which is very compelling.
I'm remembering a vague part of our conversation from last time, which was that the emergency medical doctor would be a better person to shout out shows. What is that person?
Talker.
Yeah. He would be a better talker.
Yeah, part of being a sideshow performer is less about the stunt itself and more about the presentation and the performance of the stunt. And I don't know if the emergency medical hologram could get into the showman mindset. Whereas Data has sometimes fallen into, you know, something and is trying to go, I don't understand this thing and I want to understand this thing, and has suddenly been like over the top good at a thing.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I think if Data wanted to be a good sideshow performer, he would be an amazing showman.
Plus, how many weird freak things could he do? Mm-hmm. Like, he could strongman, he could detach his arm, he could fucking whatever.
Oh, yeah, just...
Like, hologram, you could just, like, throw things through him, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, no, Data could definitely swallow swords. Data could definitely mousetrap on tongue, bed of nails.
Yeah.
Data could fire eat like nobody, because he wouldn't get burned.
There's right. No facial hair.
Yeah.
Or eyebrows.
Neither does the emergency medical hologram.
Yeah, I feel like emergency medical doctor would definitely make for a better talker. Mm-hmm. I think that's what he does is talk. So
yeah.
He is really programmed to make connections with people.
Yeah.
Whereas Data is programmed to experience the world around him. And Sideshow is just as good a place as any to do that.
I know, right? Think of what he could learn about human nature in a Sideshow.
Ooh.
Lord knows now, I've learned a bit.
Now I want to see this.
Troy wraps this up by saying, love and cashews, Troy.
There's my
cashews. Star Trek 3, The Cirque for Spock.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first one should include in nothing but the choices, and the second one repeat those choices, and then give us context. Who has a shout-out?
I need to give a shout-out to Joe. And I know that sounds stupid and sappy, but oh my god, did he take care of me tonight.
Yep. That's necessary.
He's wonderful, and I appreciate him. Yep.
Good.
I have a shout out for Jill of Huge Theater, and I don't want to go like super into why, but just she is not just a perpetually lovely person, talented performer, and excellent teacher, but she is also extremely sweet and did helped a friend out in a big way. I just sincerely appreciate the depth of her character and generosity.
Right. Agreed.
Yeah. I am going to give my shout out to our friends Rich and Angel. Messaged us last week and were just like, hey, we just picked a chicken of the woods from our garden and it's yours if you want it.
Oh.
And so we're like, yes, we do want that. And so I drove over to her house to get a chicken of the woods, and then she proceeded to give me a bag full of herbs from her garden.
Oh, wow.
Because she had holy fuck herbs in her garden. So not only did we have chicken of the woods, but we also had more oregano than we will know what to do with in ever. We also had rosemary and spring onions and a bunch of... just all sorts of things.
So much Italian food.
So much. We've got like 5 bundles of oregano drying in our cellar, and a bunch of royal basil, whatever, or holy basil. It's the like the really really. Fragrant stuff that you have in like pho.
Yeah. Thai holy basil.
Yeah.
Thai basil. Yeah.
And we've got that drying in our cellar right now, and we took a lot of the oregano and put it in along with the chicken of the woods into a chicken pot pie. So we made a chicken of the woods pot pie.
Winner.
And it was fucking
chicken
delicious.
Of the woods dinner.
It was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that sounds so absolutely sweet. Fantastic.
Well, we had talked about it at Fest last year, because she had given somebody else a chicken of the woods, and we was like, oh, what's this? And she's like, yes, I grow them, you know, in my garden. And it was like, that sounds amazing. And this year, when she was harvesting them, she was like, Salsa said that sounds amazing. I will give this one to him.
They are both just absolute sweethearts. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I appreciate both of them.
Who has a plug?
Yep.
James, you got one?
I do have. The plug that I have is for Vilification Tennis this Friday. On the subject of losers, could you think of a better topic for Vil 10? It's Vil 10 erases history, I believe, and it's we're not celebrating, but it is on the subject of people who have lost big things, including wars in some cases.
Oh my.
Yes, it should be very exciting.
Salsa, you got anything?
Yes, as mentioned, my episode of Curtains Unfurled has dropped. I am editing the second episode, so by all means, please head over to that page on Facebook, like the page on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Google Music or whatever it is that you use for podcasting purposes. Check it out.
Awesome. Anything else, you guys?
I don't know, Jenna. What do you? Is there a thing that we're organizing? I got a thing.
People of the podcast, listeners of the stream, I would like to draw your attention to the fact that this episode right here, is episode 498. 498. Which means in 2 weeks, we will be celebrating my birthday.
It's true.
That is true.
October 5th will be my 41st birthday, so we will be celebrating that. Oh, also, it will be our 500th episode.
Oh.
And in honor of that, we will be doing a live stream podcast.
What?
I know. So, on October 5th at 8 p.m., I want you all to go to our Facebook page, apropos of nothing, on Facebook. Look for us. You'll find us. I swear to God, we're there. If you haven't liked us yet, what the fuck? That's where all the cool commentary happens. You should go like that.
We've been doing this for 498 episodes. What is taking you so long?
To be fair, Salsa, you were only on Facebook for about 372
That's
of those.
That's also oddly specific, but also very true.
But on our Facebook page, we will be streaming this on Facebook Live. On our Facebook page. So go to our Facebook page, go like it. We will set up, we might set up an event, we might not, we're kind of lazy, who knows, but we will be Facebook Living this to our page. That will happen on October 5th at 8 p.m. Also, it's my birthday.
More importantly, it's Jenna's birthday.
What?
Most also, importantly.
Oh, shit. We also might have guests.
We very well may.
I am earnestly and slowly nodding in agreement to that statement.
Yes. I feel like maybe we should drop that next week and not this week.
Oh, yeah. We need to tease this a bit.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. So, listeners, we do very sincerely appreciate you listening to us for this fucking long to this fucking drivel.
That has taken goddamn near 11 years of my life.
Only 10 of mine. I look younger. Even though I'm the oldest 20 years. Episode 500, it's coming up, and we will live stream it. We will also be publishing it to all of our feeds, mm-hmm. so don't worry. If you're unable to make it October 5th at 8 p.m. Central Time, we will be posting it as a podcast itself, too. So mm-hmm. if you can't make it, I understand. I'll be sad mm-hmm. because it's my birthday, so I'll take it personally. but it will also be published. So yeah, but you want to be there for the live stream. We might be able to pay attention to some comments as we're live streaming.
Gasp.
It's all like you can be in the room where it happens.
We may
the room
even,
where it happens?
We may even the live Fast Five.
Oh my god.
Oh dang.
Oh my god, listeners, prepare for that. Oh god.
I know, god. Right?
Salsa, you didn't.
We're going to have to go through all 12 emails in front of everyone?
No, that's not happening. Mav is not allowed.
Mav,
all seven emails?
Mav, you know what to do.
All 23 emails at the same time?
Does anybody have any closing statements?
Yes, I would like to say bye-bye, I love you, bye-bye-bye.
All right, thank you so very much, everybody, for listening. Thank you to Troy, for sending in that Fast Five that we eventually got around to a second time. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.